We're reading in the book Kabbalah for the Student, page 372, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot, item 152. You can ask questions at cab.tv, and selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be aired during the lesson. Kabbalah for the Student, page 372, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot, item 152. This is the meaning of what is written in the Tree of Life, that the world of Atzilut, of the Klipot, stands opposite the world of Bria, not opposite the world of Atzilut. This is so because only the fourth discernment of love extends from the world of Atzilut, of Kedusha, sanctity. Hence, there is no dominion to the Klipot there at all, since he has already sentenced the whole world to a scale of merit and knows all the conducts of the Creator in his providence on people too, from the providence of his name, the good who does good to the good and to the bad. However, in the world of Bria, from which extends the third discernment, there is still no sentencing of the whole world. Therefore, there is still a hold for the Klipot. Yet, these Klipot are considered the Atzilut of the Klipa, since they are opposite the third discernment, the unconditional love. And this love is considered Atzilut. In other words, a person may go into Atzilut, enter Atzilut, on condition that he obtains love. But the Klipa, opposite that, love is in the world of Bria, meaning in the world of Bria, he prepares himself to the entrance to Atzilut. That's why the Klipot stand seemingly opposite the world of Bria. When you overcome them, you enter the world of Atzilut, the next world. Prinadalet of love, the third discernment of love. In other words, we have all the stages that we talked about, double concealment, single concealment, and then reward and punishment, and then repentance, meaning repentance from fear, and then repentance from love, the fourth discernment. And these are the four worlds. So the connection between the four worlds and these stages of attainment, of scrutiny and correction of the kelim, is made clear. Questions, please? We talked about it many times. Our world is all bad. It's a world of asiya. The last degree, its last degree is called this world, and after that, there is the world of Yetzirah, which is 50-50. And what we learn in the wisdom of Yetzirah, in the world of Yetzirah, is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. In our world, we're still not in it, because our kelim are not corrected enough to study the actions of the Creator, to learn the actions of the Creator. From our kelim, we don't know what bestowal is. And then we get to the world of Bria, which is mostly good, where there is repentance from fear. And then in the world of, there is above the chazeh and below the chazeh, and then the fourth discernment of love is the world of Atzilut, which is repentance from love. When a person examines these discernments, the Creator's attitude towards the rest of the creatures, and sees that they were all good, that he's benevolent to everyone and always. How does he know it? Because he finds in himself the strength to connect to all other souls, and they become as his. And in them he feels, as he was checking before, in his own clay, that the Creator loves him and has never done any harm to him. In other words, he attains tvikut with him in his kelim, and as a result, he attains complete, absolute love in his kelim, the world of Atzilut. Yesterday we said that the person who corrects himself discovers that everyone's corrected, that the system is corrected and filled with the Creator. I said yes. Now as then it only happens in the fourth discernment of love. When he connects all the other souls to himself, that's what he discovers, that the Creator treats them in absolute love, benevolence for everyone. When he examines them, let's put it this way, when I examine myself, is the Creator good to me or not? How do I examine it? By correcting my soul, so I can feel his good attitude. So I'm saying he's good. Previously, did he treat me well or not? He treated me bad. I felt bad. Today, I feel good. Then I correct myself even more, and I discover no. Yesterday he treated me with love too. And then when I look at others, the world is suffering, everyone's suffering. Poor people, there's nothing, the Creator is treating them awfully, inhumanely. When I begin to connect to them, how do I connect to them? I begin to correct my kli, so it becomes a giver. And by that, it begins to include them. And then I discover that they're a part of, inseparable part of me. To the extent that I give to them, I discover the quality of bestowal from the Creator, because I'm capable of discerning that quality of bestowal. So I suddenly discover, so he treats all those kelim. To the extent that I discover that they are my kelim, connecting to me, to that extent I discover that he treats them well, lovingly. And did he treat them well yesterday too? Meaning I go and further correct my attitude towards his kelim, connect them even more to myself, meaning attain even more of the quality of bestowal, and then I discover that he is given even more. All who fault in his own defect. To the extent that I am corrected, I see that he is giving. And the more I advance in my corrections over my will to receive, or by connecting to others, and I discover that not others but me, to that extent I discover that the Creator is in complete love. What does it mean that I discover? I discover in my kelim. Sorry. In my kelim, I discover that they've become corrected. Previously, I had the kli of Ein Sof. Nothing was corrected. I corrected only myself. Just in the present. So I'm saying, the Creator is fine with me. What about yesterday? If I correct it again, more kelim, then the past and the future, now I feel that he's treating me well. He always does. Repentance from fear. Then, what about others? What does it mean, others? I connect to others and I discover that it's my kli. I expand this malchut Ein Sof in my correction. And I include it. There is nothing here that is not revealed out of my correction. It all depends on my correction. The more I correct myself, I discover that he's good. The more I don't correct, I discover I see him as bad. All who fault in his own defect. There's no past or present or future here. Only levels of disclosure of correction, corrected kelim, measures of correction in my kelim. Is that clear or not? So what do I discover when I discover for the first time? Good to whom? You discover a tiny part of Malchut Ein Sof, which you think is you, your central point, the root of your soul, the basis, the root point, like a drop of semen from which a whole person grows. And over that point, you make that correction over that point to be in order to bestow. That's why you're saying the Creator is benevolent. To whom? To me. When? Now. What's going to happen? What will happen? What has happened? I don't know. In those kelim of past and future, I still haven't corrected them. I don't know yet. Yesterday I felt him as bad. You don't lie to yourself. You split your reality into yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You're still not beyond time because your kelim are not corrected. Then when you correct them, yesterday was love, today there is love, tomorrow there is love, there is no time anymore. It's erased. It's all a sea of love, unity, light, revelations. No light, no past and present and future. In you, at the moment, the kelim change. Hence the sensation of time. Where does time come from? The kelim change. Desires and thoughts are all changing. That's why from moment to moment you feel changes. If there were no changes in their desires and in impressions in them, you wouldn't feel that anything changes. If everything is corrected, you will feel no changes. You transcend the concept of time beyond deficiencies. Then you have a different flow of progress. Not from deficient to full, from full to fuller. Not out of deficiency. Yes. What about past and present and future? When I discover that Creator is benevolent, how is that connected to my connection to souls? You begin to discover that by correcting yourself and correcting yourself in your attitude towards the Creator and the connection with Him in past and present and future, by that you discover your other kelim, which are currently called others, because they are still, they're still dwelling in bad. That's what it's called. And then you have two forms of relations. On the one hand, in your vessels of bestowal that you had obtained personally, you feel connected to them, and you want them to be happy too, to feel good too, because now you've become good in your kli. On one hand. On the other hand, you don't want to say that the Creator is bad, because how can it be that He's bad towards others? So you're willing to go and test if it's true or not. I'm speaking in corporeal terms, but there's a lot more to it. Then it's a different kind of thought. But let's put it this way. I go and see if it's possible. Is it possible that He's bad towards them? That He's constantly harming them all through history?
And only towards me it's good. It's impossible. I can't stand such a state that only towards me is good. I also can't stand thinking about him that he is evil towards everyone else. It's the bit of what we could say. We're talking about the correction that a person has reached Chafetz Chesed. And this Chafetz Chesed, delighting in mercy, as it is revealed, the discernments of the Chafetz Chesed below and above the Chazeh, which are revealed in these Kelim, he starts from within the Chafetz Chesed to wish to bestow, to beget, to become a mom, a dad, with respect to others. It's like the Bina in the four phases of direct light, the second Bchina. It started to develop, so it procreated the Zeran Bin as a result of its will to bestow. It created someone to bestow to, the very same way a person coming from below up enters his will to bestow. He starts to correct himself in this will to bestow, and suddenly, well, I want to realize it. And then he starts referring to the others as willing, wanting to bestow, to realize this bestowal. There are many things to this, but I don't want to get into it because it has to do with degrees that we don't yet have the mind to understand it. It comes in this transition from Bchina Gimel to Bchina Dalet. We're thinking, how could this be? He's working bestow in order to bestow in vessels of bestow. Now he has to invert into receiving in order to bestow. It's like the opposite. It's called the resurrection of the dead. He has to invert himself into the opposite action, to work with the will to receive in order to receive, which is opposite to the quality of the Bina. The Malchut and the Bina, they're opposites. The Bina is only the overcoming. It's the Hei Rishonah, the first Hei. And Malchut is the Heitata, the lower Hey. It's like the upper and lower five. But we have to understand that they complete each other. And although there is the resurrection of dead here, and as if there's this inversion here, but it's it necessarily has to come, the mom, as if from her cruelty, throws this guest out, procreates this embryo, cuts off the connection to it, puts tremendous pressure upon it during the birth, and throws him out as if, as a result of the love, activates the power of judgment of Din. And this very same thing happens here when a person comes to Bchina Gimel, to Bchina Dalet of love. We'll go over it, so we'll see. Item 153. Now, we have thoroughly explained the four worlds of Bia of Kedusha and the Klipot, which are the vis-a-vis of each and every world. They are considered the deficiency that exists in their corresponding world in Kedusha. And they are the ones named the four worlds Abia of Klipot. Item 154. Why is it so? Without the Abia of shells of Klipot, we cannot advance. Without our will to receive, we have no place from where to build our status, our state, that we're the will to receive. The Creator has created only the will to receive. That's the whole of creation. And that we discover, instead of our ordinary will to receive, our simple ordinary will to receive, this system of the Klipot, it's something tremendous. There's no difference between the Klipa and Kedusha sanctity besides the way a person uses them. A person, as he ascends, he discerns whether his desires are Klipa or Kedusha, pure or unpure. It's like previously a person could kill someone else. Now he's really like shook up by it. So this previous desire that helped him rob people and helped him enjoy, thought it was a good desire for him. This desire was like holy. It's good that this way I could provide for myself nicely. Now that he goes and robs and kills people, as he does it, he sees that it's a shell, klipa. It all depends on the discernments of a person. There's no such thing as things existing in the system of klipa or kedusha before us, from the both sides of a person. There's no such thing. But within the person, within his desires, and we exist and live only within the desire, within our desire, we divide our desire, we determine that so it is divided into Klipa and Kedusha, according to my ability to work with these desires. And there is nothing to it besides this. As we advance, our desire opens before us more and more, and our attitude towards this desire determines whether it's Klipa, Kedusha, worlds, Paltzufim, to different degrees. We, as we live within this desire, we define it by such different discernments. And it's not that the worlds exist and I get into this magical forest. Here it's sanctity, here it's the shells and some voices, angels, birds, I don't know, like it's written in the words of in the books of Kabbalah, like Jurassic Park. I know, something good, like angels or something. It's all within a person, within his desires, according to one's advancement, as they start to discern these desires are klipa, shells, and these are sanctity. And prior to this, didn't have this. Now he simply determines it this way as he advances. Item 154. These words suffice for any observer to feel the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah to some degree. You should know that the most of the authors of Kabbalah books did not direct their books, but only to such readers that have already attained a disclosure of the faith and all the sublime attainments. Therefore, it's hard for us to speak about what he writes. These worlds of love, of fear, these different degrees, if we were at least in something, but we're in the time of concealment, the period of concealment, and from within it, to speak about the period of disclosure, therefore it says, whatever you can do, whatever is in your ability to do, you must do. See what they recommend you to do and do it. This is how you'll acquire the different discernments in order to begin and suddenly start to scrutinize what's happening here in this reality that is before me. It's not before me, it's within me. You perceive your will to receive, start dividing it correctly to ascribe it to yourself, see different things in it, to see that it is the operating force, there's the creator in it, but it is all yours. We should not ask if they have already been awarded attainment, then they know everything through their own attainment. Why then would they still need to delve in books of Kabbalah by other authors? Well, we have no choice. We're learning from the books. There are Kabbalists who discover the upper system without books. Could they advance without books? Probably there were such, like Adam Rishon, like Abraham, as we're being told. Well, Abraham, there's a question about him because we count 20 generations from Adam Rishon to Abraham. These are all the heads of these generations are all Kabbalists, and Abraham, and although it's not written about it, he somehow got something from there. But Adam Rishon, who taught him? Therefore he's called Rishon, the first. Are we also this way? No. We see that since always, a person, he gets some kind of an emotional inspiration, the spirit of this world, an awakening for spirituality is being brought to a group, teacher, books, and accordingly advances. So there's great use as a result, even if he reaches these great degrees by the Kabbalistic books, by the group, the teacher, everything. There's a great profit if he continues, and although he feels already near everything, and it says that man's soul shall teach him. He's in the soul, he already knows what to do, he's with the Creator. Nonetheless, there's a great profit if he looks in the books of others. He sees the reality through, so to say, foreign kelim. Because each one sees from his own angle, and a person who starts to read how the others describe spiritual reality very quickly starts to, in a very multicolored, diverse way, to connect to the general soul. However, it is not wise to ask that question. It is like one who engages in the literal Torah who has no knowledge of the conduct of this world with respect to the world, ear, soul of this world, and who does not know people's behavior and their conducts with themselves and with others, and also he does not know the beasts and the birds in this world. Would you even consider that such a person would be able to understand even a single issue in the Torah correctly? He would overturn the issues in the Torah from good to bad and from bad to good, and would not find his hands and legs in anything. So is the matter before us. Even if one has been awarded attainment, and even at the level of the Torah of Atzilut, he will still not perceive more than relates to his own soul. Yet, one must know all three discernments, world, year, soul, in their every incident and conduct in full consciousness, to be able to understand the issues in the Torah that relate to that world. These issues are explained in the Book of Zohar and the genuine Kabbalah books with all their details and intricacies. Thus, every sage and one who understands with his own mind must contemplate them day and night. You could say, how can we, are we capable to go over all these scriptures and writings? Not that much. Day and night, it's clear that it's not day and night. The meaning is to give them the importance, but the Book of Zohar and the writings of the Ari, as they're brought in the Zohar with the interpretation of the Sulam and in tests, it is sufficient in order to correct oneself completely. Bala Sulam, he did us a big favor here. Sasha Sankov, an Igor from Russia, in addition to many other students from the States, are asking, can you describe the feeling of the corrected connection with others? What do I actually give to the others when I connect their desires to myself? No, if I connect their desires to myself, it doesn't mean that I am in, like he says here. When I read other Kabbalah books, accordingly I clothe in the Kabbalist that has discovered from his angle, from his point of view, I clothe into other foreign vessels. There's something different else about it that I've corrected to myself all the rest of the souls, and I've made a general correction. I made this general correction from my point. I've reached the state of my private correction with respect to all the rest of the souls. That's not enough. I also have to see all of reality through each and every corrected soul. And then when I reach such a level that I have finished my private correction, I discover the others also being in Gemar Tikkun, only in potential, not in practice, because there are these that have not reached it yet. But we have to understand the term of the meaning of time, although we're in the imaginary world now, etc., etc. But turns out that, let's put it geometrically, I am a point within a circle. I've corrected myself. I've built my connection line from that circle to the surrounding light, to that circle, infinity. I've corrected all the rest of the souls. I've built this whole circle. I've expanded this line like a sector for this whole circle. Now, the plane, the surface of this circle, all of it is my corrected desire. I've completely corrected myself and correcting to the others, correcting my desire and connecting to the others and myself. It's not enough. Now, and imagine that my circle is a plane. Now imagine that the rest of the circles are the amount of the souls when they connect, they become like a sphere. Circle and another circle and another one, it's like a sphere. Then I have to see all the corrections from all the souls from their angle. Why?
The Creator is looking from above, from the outside, on everyone and operating everyone. I have to reach the exact same degree. That's why I need to clothe in each and every one and see the correction from his perspective, from his soul. Then I reach equivalence of form with the upper force. It's not enough to correct my own territory. But another one, another one, another one, another piece, another circle, until they all connect into one sphere. Well, that's maybe in a more kind of a picturesque way. You have to do it, otherwise you don't achieve equivalence with the Creator. And that's how everyone is. And when everyone connects and everyone observes through others, and then everyone unites. So it's something that, all the individual spheres connect into an even rounder realm, so to speak, more complete. And then any kind of individuality disappears. But these things that are, that's above our corrections. Yes. But the majority of Kabbalists didn't write books. Here is he's saying why we should read books. Now it's just an allegory. All the genuine Kabbalah books, other than the book of Zohar, there's this inclusion. A book is a disclosure, and it doesn't happen through reading, but this inclusion exists. That's why I explained it this way. When we get to it, we'll see. These are very high things. Item 155. Therefore, we must ask, why then did the Kabbalists obligate each person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah if they wrote all their books to those who are already in spirituality? So that's clear. Yes, to help each other. So why should we, who are not in spirituality, read these books? To us, these are completely abstruse. We don't understand a single word. Indeed, there is a great thing in it, worthy of being publicized. There is a wonderful and valuable remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Although they do not understand what they are learning, through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they are learning, they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls. Meaning, there is a power without which we cannot advance. And hence, although Kabbalists wrote their books to themselves, we must use them, these books, for our own correction. To us, they are a springboard, a life buoy, without it, we wouldn't be able to connect to the force that corrects, that can open up for us our corrupted vessels, to correct them a little bit, to start seeing in our will to receive the spiritual, true spiritual reality. Without that reflected light, without the hope that it would affect us, we wouldn't be able to do anything. Hence, the real Kabbalah books are a condition if you engage in them and engage in them in the right way. It's not just enough to open a book, the book of Zohar. It depends on how you open it, how you relate to it, how you read it. But the real Kabbalah books are the first condition for a person to see where you are, to see what you're studying. If you're somewhere where you're not studying the book of Zohar, books of the Ari, the book of Baal HaSulam, books of Baal HaSulam, then it's obvious you're not in a spiritual place. And you're studying spirituality, it's still not all the conditions, but it's the first condition. This means that every person from Israel is guaranteed to finally attain all the wonderful attainments that the Creator had contemplated in the thought of creation, to delight every creature. Every person from Israel, meaning everyone with a point in the heart, and who craves to obtain the things that the Creator has prepared for him, who feels he's got some inclination, some predilection towards it. But if it doesn't belong to Israel, meaning straight to the Creator, if it doesn't have inclination towards it, he may be Italian, South American, whatever. But if he doesn't have a desire for it, then he's not called Israel, and hence he will, well, he's not drawn to these books, and these books cannot do him any good then. In other words, if the Creator evokes a desire for him in a person, then to him these are Kabbalah books, and then of course he comes to the Kabbalah books to the right place and begins to study. That's how he's brought to the necessary conditions to begin to develop his soul. And one who has not been awarded in this life will be granted in the next life. Meaning those that the Creator brings to the Kabbalah books and they start studying, some are not awarded in a single lifetime, and they may need another lifetime. But they are already on the way, they're advancing, and it's not for you to finish the job. He is aware of it, and he is telling it to us in a very straightforward way. We have to act. There is no other choice. That's the process that we have to go through. We receive the desire from the Creator, and as much as we can, we need to realize it, and as much as we realize it, as much as we can, it partly depends on us and partly on, it's called the general soul sentence, which may not be immediate or not, maybe not even in this life. We have to understand that if we go and do the desire of the upper one, it is enough. Until one is awarded completing his thought, which he had planned for him. And while one has not been awarded perfection, has not attained perfection, the lights that are destined to reach him are considered surrounding light. That means that they stand ready for him, but are waiting for him to purify his vessels of reception, at which time these lights will clothe the able vessels. Hence, in other words, first, the surrounding light acts. If a person keeps all the conditions, he's reading the right book, he's with the right books, a group, with the right guide, studying in the right time, with efforts, in the right system, according to the right schedule. So then the light that creates connection between his soul and spirituality, that connection is called the surrounding light, and it affects him, and gradually a person begins to receive new impressions, more and more and more of them, until he feels the opening towards that light, where he begins to feel out of that point of desire which is called Israel, he begins to feel a new reality. And then that surrounding light that shone, he didn't feel how this was happening. Now he feels how it happens in this nuclei. And then a person begins to see his actions and the actions of the light and comes into joint work. The concealment period is over, the preparation period, and a person begins to act in tangible actions. Hence, even when he does not have the vessels, when he engages in this wisdom, mentioning the names of the lights in the vessels related to his soul, even before the soul is open, it's still just a point. they immediately shine upon him to a certain extent. However, they shine for him without clothing in the interior of his soul, for a lack of the able vessels to receive them. Yet the illumination one receives time after time during the engagement draws upon him grace from above, imparting him with abundance of sanctity and purity, which bring him much closer to achieving perfection. Okay. Glizer, I want to hear you. Yeah. Why, when Bala Sulam wrote that out of the great desire to understand what they are learning, why did he use the word understanding and not resembling or something like that? Well, it's our desire. You don't have a desire to resemble. Excuse me for saying that about you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I feel in me, too, a desire to understand. To understand the ways of connecting, of the Creator's connection to me, to understand where I am, who I am, how I advance. It's all understanding. The heart, too, understands, even though I feel, but that's my desire, to understand where I am, what's going on here, what's going on with me. This guidance, how these forces act on me, where I am, how do I get on in life, it's all understanding. Our desire is to understand. If you're saying, I want to be happy just like that, with this desire to be happy, you don't get to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Anyone who comes, in the end, wants to understand where he is, who is dealing with the relationship between himself and nature. He wants to feel oriented in the world. His desire, when it awakens, it prompts him to understanding. To understanding, not just to feel happy. That's animate. He wants to understand. Speak to anyone. They want to reveal, to understand, to open up. It's true that it's also a sensation and impression, and it excites you, but you want to find a way to be oriented. Yes, Pasha. The upcoming Congress at the end of October in Turkey is called The New Reality. And the groups that are organizing it are thinking about how to show an example, a model of this new reality, of the United World. How can this be done? How can we show this to new people, to the world?
If you'll make a movie about the spiritual world, then great, you could show it. I don't think that it's possible to show this. What we imagine can't come in place of spirituality, because spirituality is something that opens within us and we can't pass it on in words. The Kabbalists have found words. They found words according to what they know, that if I say a certain word, then the other who's in this, he understands what I'm saying. But if in us these forms that I went through did not exist, then, or the opposite, then we have no mutual language. In our world, we have a mutual language because we go or undergo the same things. One understands the other, so-called. In spirituality, it's the same. Therefore, Kabbalists, like he tells us here, wrote books for those who are already in spirituality and pass through these things so they understand each other, and therefore these books for them are like books of connection where each one could describe exactly what the other says. could depict, envision, that I envision for myself what the other says, as if dress into him. I have this tangible feeling. It's not like some novelist wrote something, but I'm really in the book that I read from some Kabbalist. Through it I truly connect to his soul and view the world from within his soul. Truly so. Meaning there is a very important, essential action here. It's not simply a call and inspiration, but there is a connection between the kelim. But we are incapable of depicting to a person in this world the correct spiritual depiction. I remember myself for many years having different imaginations, different depictions, descriptions that I've envisioned for myself, and I see that it is impossible to compare them to what really happens in spirituality. And there are no words for it. Therefore, we could only use passing on the discernments of what it means to bestow, what does love mean. Maybe a bit, to a certain extent, similar to our world, because there are these things in the egoistic world. We can use these discernments and as a result to speak. But also here, it is nothing. We actually, all of us, are based only on one thing. A person has a deficiency. Feels empty in this life. He has a lack for something exalted, therefore he can't escape. And to tell him different things about spirituality, regardless of what and how much I tell him, I have to give him a method. How to quickly advance. I have to explain to him what does the ratio of development depend on. And not to start color nice pictures and depictions before him that there is spirituality is one way, it's another way, it's something that, what will you say? It's also not our approach. It's not the correct approach. It's not our approach. We, as the owners of the method, really have to bring a person instructions of how to advance. And certainly the end has only to do with a person, a world, a person who has a point in the heart. And those who have no point in their hearts, I don't want to color things pink. You'll be rich, famous, known, healthy, wealthy. I'm not going to advertise the wisdom of Kabbalah this way. She's like a prostitute. That's what it says about her, the wisdom in the Zohar, that you turn it, you give it this form, serving a person in this world. Don't want it. That's not what it's intended for. And let's say, like yesterday in the conversation with the scientist, I have nothing to tell him. I have nothing to tell him, because what will I tell him? We can come out of the crisis. What else will I tell him? That by the wisdom of Kabbalah, what? To say that this crisis comes from, as a result of us having to reach a different level of a development, he tells me, no, like in Babylon, you've seen. What solution did he give? The solution for our world, he says. Next stage in humanity, all will go to, will simply part from each other. Regions, isolated places, countries, isolated from one another. We'll break the whole connection between us because it brings us a problem. And all of us will divide and live this way. One outside of the other will make it so that Earth will not have 7 billion people. We'll make a plague, something. We'll bring down population to 500 million. And this is how they'll live, and everything will be fine. This is his pink plan. Although that eventually, he had nothing to tell. It's the same thing like in Babylon. He simply doesn't understand that it's against nature, but he can't get it. I told him that it's against the process that nature is forcing us to get into. Said, nah, I think that we'll do this and it's going to be okay. We'll eradicate half the population and then we won't be so tightly connected and then no problem. We have to feed these beasts as long as it dies and as long as it's alive and then it dies. And then everything's going to be fine. It's the Babylonian approach. We need a bit more for this process that we're going through to become evident, then there's no other choice. They'll have to discover it how by the blows, and for the time being, we'll finish. Several announcements. Come and celebrate together with us Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's. Today, students, viewers from all over Israel, we're gathering in order to celebrate the Jewish Rosh Hashanah, New Year's. Well, it's actually the Kabbalistic New Year's. And we'll have a special lecture by Rav Lightman, cultural events, music. Today, 6 p.m., Amphivol, Park Erkon, Tel Aviv. For further details, 179-509-209 or KUBCOIL. Europe is uniting, a virtual lesson for all the friends in Europe who wish to become one clean. Every Thursday, today, 8:30, Israel time. Further details on europe@kbb1.com. The whole world Kli are preparing themselves for the next degree. Two congresses around the world, 3 days of lessons with Rav Lightman, special workshops, meals, and the unity of friends. The World Kli Congress in North America will take place from the 15th to the 18th of October in Buffalo. For further details, please go to KabbalahCongress.org. And the Euro-Asian Congress in Turkey from the 22nd through the 25th of October. Anatolia, Turkey, the New Reality Congress, and producing this Congress are all of our Russian, the groups from Russia are producing this Congress. The whole world is invited, and for further information details, please go to kab.info.
הסתיו שלך זו השלכת שלי, האביב שלך זו הבריחה שלי, מלחמה שלך זו מלחמה שלי, השמחה שלך זה האושר שלי, הלילה שלך הוא הלילה שלי, ירח מלא גם לך ולי. האמת שבך זו האמת שבי, הלבן שלך הוא הזקור שלי. שנינו יחד באותה סירה, זה אני ואתה, בטוב וברע, רק ביחד, רק ביחד נגיע. העולם שלך